Hello, and welcome to the From Arthur's Seat podcast, your bi-weekly chat with some of the authors behind Volume 10. I'm your host, Sophia Holm, and today I'll be talking to Dakshi Kure.
Hi, Dakshi. How are you doing?
Good. Not too bad. Really excited for this.
That's great. So can you tell me what track you're on in the creative writing program and a little bit about your background as a writer?
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing prose in the creative writing program, and I've been writing for, I'd say, almost more than a decade. Started out just writing for fun, sort of switched it into a career, did content writing for a while, switched to marketing, and then dumped it all and came here to do my master's. So we'll see where it takes me.
What are your motivations as a writer?
The beginning, it was more like I just read whatever I could get my hands on, like, you know, stereotypical. And then it got to a point where I was like looking for characters that felt like me, looked like me, and also looking for stories that were written about people like me. And like, there were lots of like books by great Sri Lankan authors about growing up Sri Lankan, whether it was like back home or like outside in diaspora. But there was nothing fantastical as such, or like nothing that I found at that time. And I was like, what if I just wrote it? So it kind of started out from there. And then it sort of has grown into something that's almost like an extension of me now. I just write. Now I feel like my motivation for writing is more, I need to do it.
So even though you're on the prose track, today you actually brought in a poetry piece. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was actually, it was a twofold thing. One, because I hadn't finished writing anything that I wanted to kind of present on From Arthur's Seat as such at a time, and also I didn't have the time, so I was like, what if I wrote one? But at the same time, it terrified me because I was on a program with actual poets, and I was thinking, what if, like, because I don't even know what I'm doing, how do I like write something that would fit in the same box as such with actual poets? But at the end of the day, my idea was I would just do it anyway, just write what comes to mind, and hopefully when the poets edit it, they'll tell me, this sucks, we need to work on this. So that's kind of what I, that was kind of the motivation. And also I don't know, I just feel like I wanted to sort of see what else I could do.
The poem that you've brought in today for us to hear, mm-hmm. is called Master's Year. Mm-hmm. What is the background of this poem?
So around, I think, December of 2024, everybody had sort of gone back home for the holidays, and obviously my home is way too far to go home. And I had a lot of time off work and off school to just sit and think. And it was sort of brought about from a place of like sadness in a way, but also from that I just have this sort of ticking clock in my head that I have like 1 year to make the most of it. And sometimes I feel terrified that I'm not making the most of each day. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like I'm doing too much and I need to slow down. And I also sort of think about what it would be like when this year ends. Like, you know, as writers do, we overthink about everything. So that's sort of what inspired me to write that.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, without further ado, let's hear the piece then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Master's Year. Tonight's dinner, 3 preserved prunes and a generous helping of exhaustion. They taste like cardboard and longing. Edinburgh is my Lady Liberty, her kirk spires as welcoming as Gatsby's green light. The scratch of pen on paper, the clicks of black keys, soothes the tickle at the back of my throat. The hot chocolate warmth of knowing I have made it, turning my heart from lead to red souffle sponge. Reality is a two-way mirror, fleeting moments of clarity amidst reflections of hollowed eyes, a gas lamp burn on the crink of my neck, the solidity of the mundane in the city of dreams. But at what cost? 750 grams of a blue Christmas, 1,000 milliliters of crying in the middle of sunny Princess Street, 3 liters of the hollowness of going back to your mother, and she's 1 year older.
Thank you so much for reading that for us. Can you tell me a little bit what the creative process of this piece was like?
My work around poetry feels very instinctual in that sense compared to when I write prose. I'm far more aware and far more like grounded when I'm doing prose. With poetry, it's more like, it reminds me of when I used to be a child and writing. I didn't really care who was going to read it. It was just me. So even with this piece, it was just that there was, I think, actually 3 prunes in the back of my fridge that I found when I was like cleaning it out just before Christmas. And it felt kind of depressing at that moment. And it's just those images that I kind of, with poetry, it's always about images, about always like what comes to mind. And then I just need to write that down. And I just do, like from beginning to end. And then I would go back and like remove words when I kind of get into a rhythm of it. But mostly it's very much instinctual.
Are there any structural or stylistic techniques that you're very drawn to, either in this piece or just broadly?
When it comes to poetry, not really, because obviously it's always been instinctual to me, which is one of my kind of fears about writing poetry as well, because I'm like, does it make sense? Like, does it, like, would a poet look at it and say, that's not how you write poetry? But with prose, again, it just goes back to the story. Like, I just think about what would help me tell this story in the best possible way. And then I just do it. It's if it, like, sometimes go back and like structurally edit it and then, you know, look at the arc of the story. But mostly it's more focused on how best can I tell this story.
Broadly speaking, what are your goals as a writer?
This year has been kind of like a side quest in a sense. I already have an established career in marketing back home, and I've been writing, but obviously not in the capacity that I would want to. The idea of this master's was simply to fulfill a dream of me when I was 12 years old. And now I've done it, so I'm not really sure what to do now, because it's like I've achieved that dream. So what do you do, like, you know, after the credits roll? What happens after that? I would ideally like to keep writing, because I have all these stories in my head, and now I know how to get them out there. And now I have, like, a community, because obviously all this time I've been writing kind of alone, and I've managed to create that community here and also have, like, actual people in the program, especially the teachers that have gone through this themselves and know where they're going and what they're doing and how they could guide us to go somewhere. So I feel like it's still out there, but I just want to keep writing, and I want to publish as much of that writing as possible, because at the end of the day, I started writing for a little girl like me, and hopefully the little girls like me could one day read those books.
On the note of publication, where can we see more of your work?
So currently there's just one publication that I have out. It was by Fox Spirit Books, and it's volume 1 of Girl at the End of the World, where I sort of wrote, again, a Sri Lankan-inspired steampunk short story. So that's the one publication I have out, but hopefully there'll be more soon.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dakshi.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
Of course.
You can find Dakshi's work, along with all of the other stories and poems from amazing authors in the From Arthur's Seat anthology, releasing on May 9th. The pre-order link is up now in our bio. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok, and don't forget to check out our website at www.fromarthurseat.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.